Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. It's a little chilly out there today, but spring is coming. We know that it's coming here. This morning we welcome Pastor Jody Guerrera. Thank you. She will be going to be doing Ian's sermon. Ian is convalescing at home. She's trying to get better here. She's still has some issues that she's dealing with, and some areas look good, but they're still hurting. And I said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm going to the doctors all the time." So that's what she's doing. So Jody's going to be doing the sermon they were working on together, but she's going to be doing her own version. So that's a good thing. Janet Capoletti is convalescing at the hospital and hopefully coming home today. So she had neck surgery, some brace put in and screws. So keep in your prayers continually here. Let's see what else we have. The flowers up top, those beautiful flowers.
Beautiful orchids.
Orchids. I was close. They're in memory of Edna Billings from Ted and Ann Ryan. So thank you. So that is one more thing. Easter baskets. They're hurting. We need some more candy in there. We need to get the bunnies and all the different colors and all the different stuff in there. So please try to add to that. And please keep in mind our banquet of blessings. That's starting to get down a little bit. It needs a little bit of a infusion with some more gifts as people are going to be coming for Easter to try to grab a few things. The Lenten services. Thank you for showing up. Okay, keep it going. We got a couple more weeks to go, but we almost hit 40 people. And that was outstanding. The girls did a great job. It was really nice seeing them. They're practicing for Palm Sunday. They're going to be back again, so we got to do really well then. And we're going to be having Monday, Thursday here. We're going to be having a Good Friday service here. So come on out and join with us. Good Friday, we're going to come here for communion, have a service, and then go over to Congregational Church for the movie The Passion. So if you can't do both or whatever, please join us. It's an important time of the year to calm our hearts and get in a good frame of mind. Does anyone have anything they would like to share, please?
Going off of what you said, Crafty Friday will not happen on Good Friday. So this way, if you want to go to the services, we'll know that Crafty Friday.
Okay, that sounds good.
There will be a sunrise service at 1:00.
Okay, thank you. You took that. It's good. What?
6:30?
Yep. Dave.
Women's Weekend for Trace Diaz is a go.
Yep.
We have 7 candidates.
Good.
We have 3 already lined up for the men in October for candidates.
Okay.
We are shooting for 18 for both weekends.
Okay.
So,
okay. Thank you, Dave.
I know a lot of you have prayed for my mother and stepfather over the years. Today they are celebrating their 41st wedding anniversary.
Woohoo! Yay! And you need help in the nursery, right? Yes. Well, while you got them hooked, pull them in. Anything else anyone else would like to share this morning?
What time was that?
For you, 4:30.
Just checking, in case you want to change your mind.
Well, let us now stand for our introit.
Mm-hmm.
Gather in our call to worship. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Blessed is the one whose sins the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit.
Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him.
Then I acknowledge my sin to you. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
There is power in Father God, we come this morning. We have joy in our hearts, Father. We lift up this beautiful day before you, thanking and praising you for that, Father. There is war going on in the world. There are people who are struggling. We have members of our church who are trying to heal. Father God, we lift them all up to you, but we praise you. In the middle of all this, they're praising you. They're thanking you. We know that they're in Ukraine just lifting you up and praising you and thanking you. Father God, we're putting our lives, our world, ourselves, our souls into you, Father. And we thank you for that. We are blessed beyond belief. We just praise you beyond. Lord, we lift up what you want us to do. We lift up what you'd like us to do. We're coming into the Lenten service, Father. The time of year when we need to really come close to you and really bond and really listen. Father God, open our ears, open our eyes to not only what you want, but those around us. We lift that all up to you today, Father, and we join together in love to say the prayer that you taught us to say, Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. We will begin in the book of Genesis, Genesis 3, 21 through 24, and it is on page 3 of your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. And the Lord made garments of skins for the man and for his wife and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might reach out to his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a sword flaming and turning to guard the way to the tree of life. We are then going to 2 Corinthians. We are in 5, 1 through 3, and then 16 through 21. It is found on page 939 in your pew Bible. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from the human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God. Who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And finally, the book of Luke. Luke 15, 11 through 32, excuse me. The parable of the prodigal and his brother. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of my property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' And then began a celebration. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has gotten him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property and with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him?' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" And this, my friends, is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And any more young children, Lauren and I will be in the nursery.
Please be seated.
The past and hell breathe breath over my head is gone. These chains are ashes now that once were. rusted it on. I was a runaway, now I am finally home.
My mind was a ghost now, haunted by yesterday, until your hand reached out, pulled me out of my grave, into the freedom found only in Jesus' name. I am forgiven.
Gosh, I've always just loved the inside of this sanctuary, very intimate. Reminds me a little of Sharon, where I was for a number of years. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your word in scripture, and I pray that the words that you have given me are faithful and true. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, O God, be faithful to you and acceptable. In Jesus' name, amen. Gina, what a lovely reader you are. Crystal clear, just wonderful. Luke, the author of the Gospel and the book of Acts, was a well-educated man and a physician by trade. Many commentators call him the historian because he used the names of Roman officials to date the events that he wrote about. For example, he set the birth of John the Baptist in the days of King Herod of Judea, and the birth of Jesus in the days of Caesar Augustus. However, Luke did not write this gospel to relate the history of first century Palestine. He did write to explain exactly how God fulfilled his ancient promise to Adam and Eve. In that promise, which is recorded in Genesis 3, just before where Gina read, God vowed to crush the serpent who enticed Adam and Eve into eating the forbidden apple. As a result, Adam and Eve were expelled from God's perfect garden. And since their relationship with God was broken, Adam and Eve and the human race were lost. Luke wrote to tell us that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is the only remedy for lost humanity. The word lost appears 20 times in the New Testament, and 9 of those usages are in the Gospel of Luke. I think that Luke talked about lostness because he was a good friend of Paul. We all know how lost Paul was at one time. You may recall that Luke recorded the incredible conversion of Paul in Acts chapter 9. Paul was traveling on the road to Damascus. He was a very zealous Pharisee and a persecutor of the Christians. And after he met Jesus and spent a few days blind, he became a very humble servant of God and spread the message of Jesus throughout the Roman world at the time. Paul was very, very lost, but found by Jesus on the road to Damascus. So Luke is well acquainted with the biblical account of lost. In chapter 15 of his gospel, he recorded 3 parables on lostness: the sheep, the coin, and a son. I was heard that you had sermons on the past couple of weeks on the sheep and the coin. And the message is that God rejoices when people enter his kingdom. And one enters God's kingdom by admitting his or her own lostness and putting their faith in Jesus. This third parable, however, is longer and it's more complicated. There are 3 main characters. There's a father who is a landowner with servants, and he's therefore a very well-respected member of his community. He's used to having his instructions obeyed. The second character is a younger son who's tired of living under his father's authority. Haven't we all been there at 16? So one day, this younger son asked for his inheritance so he could go off and make his own way in the world. This request was incredibly shocking to the people who were listening to the parable because wealth at that time was in the land. And in order for the father to give this younger son a third of the estate, he would have had to sell some of his property and reduce the size of his holdings. This was demeaning, and it was embarrassing for a well-respected patriarch. The younger son was really saying, gee, Dad, you know, I just wish you were dead, and so I could have what was due me. Nevertheless, the father granted the request. So the son went to the far-off country, as we heard, spent all the money on wild living, and ended up almost starving. But one day, this younger son realized that if he returned home, asked his father's forgiveness, he might be hired to work on the land, and he could then, at the least, avoid starving to death. So he returned home to humbly ask his father's forgiveness. The father was so overjoyed to see the son returning. The son didn't even have time to ask for a job as a hired hand, et cetera, before the father said, get the best robe I have, bring him a ring, put sandals on his feet. And the father ordered a great feast, and the rejoicing began. His lost son admitted his guilt and was now found. Then finally, we're introduced to the third character, the elder brother. Elder brother is in no mood to rejoice with the father. Father actually leaves the feast to go get the elder son, another embarrassing thing for him to do. But to no avail, the older son is angry.
He has been a good child. He has been obedient. He's been hardworking. And now this brother has been restored. So you know what that means. It means that the remaining estate, now this younger restored son can again have a third. So he's losing more money. The older brother is just seething at the unfairness of it all. So how many times have you heard this parable? I think it's a very popular parable, and I'm sure most of you have heard it before. And how often when you hear it do you zone in on the younger brother? I've heard and read and recalled these words many times, and every time I hear this parable, I'm reminded of my own brother. You see, I have a lost brother. He's 3 years younger than me, and I rarely talk about him. Many people who have known me for most of my life don't even know that I have a brother. He was always in trouble, especially in school. He embarrassed my family and my parents, and he made me very, very angry. I was the older child. I was the good child. I became a really good perfectionist because I was afraid to do anything wrong. Heavy weight for a young person. But I could not wait to grow up and move away. And I was so happy when I graduated high school, went to college, met Bill, married, and moved north. Here we are. have been here ever since. But out of sight is not out of mind. My brother never repented. Our family never got to rejoice. And my parents are both gone now. My brother is difficult, and I knew I couldn't fix him. My children are afraid of him, so he was not welcome in our home. The thought of him always stirred up my anger, and I can feel my heart racing a little as I'm telling you this story. Then one day, I was in a Bible study, and lo and behold, this was the passage of scripture we studied. And the leader remarked that this parable is often referred to as the prodigal son, and most people believe it's about the great forgiveness of God to the younger son and the joy in heaven when a wayward person repents. However, this leader mentioned that Jesus never used the word prodigal in describing the younger son. A prodigal is one who recklessly and lavishly spends money. Rather, this parable should be called the parable of the two sons, which it's called in a number of translations. Then the leader of the Bible study asked, "Which brother are you?" Well, you must know that the story of my youth came flooding back to haunt me. And all the anger and the fury began to rage within me again. I was like the older son. I was the good girl. And I was the one who raged over my brother's behavior. Then the leader reminded us that Jesus told this parable to the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were the good children. They were obedient to their parents, obedient to the laws of God, and always went to church. They could not understand how Jesus could eat with tax collectors and sinners. Those were the younger brothers who disgraced God and their families. Jesus, however, was telling this parable to these very scribes and Pharisees because their pride in their goodness made them just as lost as the younger son in the story. Jesus was making a point. His point was that all people, everyone since the fall of Adam and Eve, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In God's eyes, the scribes and the Pharisees were just as fallen as the tax collectors and the sinners who infuriated them. So in this study, it suddenly dawned on me that I was not as good as I thought I was. In God's eyes, I was no better than my brother. This was a wake-up call, huge wake-up call, and the beginning of my training in the art of humility. My heart was also broken for my brother, his sad life. And I repented and asked God's forgiveness in believing my good works and my church going could earn me a place in heaven, I finally understood the gospel. So how about you? Is there someone you feel superior to? Is it time to ask yourself, which brother am I? The question asks whether you are lost because of your insistence on doing your own thing, like the younger brother, or because of your pride in your good works, like the older brother. Regardless, there's only one way to be found: by admitting your sin, repenting before Christ, and putting your faith in him. He crushed the serpent on the cross. Go to him and be found.
Thank you.
Let's now join our hearts in prayer. Good morning, Father. We all need to ask, which brother are we? Maybe we're the Father. We need to just lift that all up to you, Father. We need to lift it, set it before you, Father. And we need to learn to let go of it once we give it to you. Father, we lift up Janet. We pray for a healing in her and the decision she's making. We lift up Herb. We pray that you continue to heal him and guide him. And we lift up Ian, Father. We pray that you, they're all home healthy, that we pray that you show her the direction she's going to be going. Heal her to continue on with her life and doing what she loves to do, especially in her service to you, Father. We pray for strength and protection over them, Lord. Lord, there's a new day dawning in Ukraine. There are people the terror of war affects so many there, Lord, and they're growing out of it. They're coming back. They're coming back to Kiev. There are Christians there, Lord, who are lifting you up and praising you and singing your name. Father God, we lift that country up and the battles that they're going through. We lift up all of the people and the surrounding countries. Lord God, there's so many that it brings back World War II to them. Brings back the Afghan, it brings back all different conflicts, Lord, that they've lived up and gone through. We lift that all up to you, Father. We pray for your guidance. We pray for solutions. We pray for wisdom for the leaders. We pray for wisdom and guidance for our country as we deal with it. Lord God, we lift up our church. We lift up our church members, we lift up our leaders, we lift up our pastors, and we ask for guidance and protection over them. As we come into Lent, Lord, guide which road you want us to take. Guide us what you want us to preach about. We put that all before us, Father. We lift up those that are hurting. We lift up Robert Morton. We pray for healing. We pray for guidance. We pray for intervention, Lord. We lift up Millie and thank her for being here. And there are others that I'm probably forgetting, Lord, but you know who they are. We lift everyone up here, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Father, for all that you do, especially in this time of Lent. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds to what you want us to get out of this, Lord. Help us in our struggles to break away from our life to find the time to spend with you. And Father God, I lift up prayer. I lift up the power of prayer that we take for granted, the power of prayer that opens doors and gives us the guidance and understanding that we search. Father God, I pray for the time to pray, the time to talk to you, the time to listen. We put this all together today, and may your kingdom come, Father. Father, now we move to thanking you, Father, for all the blessings that you give us, the work that we have, the ability to pay bills, the ability to feed our family, all the things, Lord, that we take for granted, like we're so privileged. We thank you for that, Father. We praise you and give you this day, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand. Together now in Amazing Grace.